All right. As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who was a 12-time All-Star. He won 10 consecutive Silver Slugger Awards, 427 career home runs, including a record 396 as a catcher, 9 straight seasons of hitting 300 or better, 9 seasons of 32 or more home runs. He was the 1,390th pick of the 1988 draft. He is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was named manager of Team Italy back in November. He is Mike Piazza. Mike, I have to say that in a time like this, with things going on in the world the way they are, it is so good to talk to an old friend. Mike, how are you?
Romy, I wish we were reconnecting under better circumstances, but nonetheless, it's good to hear your voice, man. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. It's great to hear your voice, and I appreciate you making time for this, and I know the listeners do too. Mike, why don't we go back a little bit, because in November, you were named the manager of the Italian national baseball team, which meant that you'd be managing in the European tournament and the World Baseball Classic. I mean, what a great thrill. What kind of emotions were you feeling when it became official, and how much pride is there for you with that opportunity?
Well, as I've stated before, and you may know, my father being an immigrant from Italy and having achieved the American dream and leaving behind many family and friends, and for me to reconnect on various levels with the Italian Baseball Softball Federation, I started coaching, actually played for in the first Classic for Italy in 2006, as trying to hope to spread baseball, the popularity of baseball in Europe, and coaching for them in a couple of classics and winning 2 European championships and 2 World Cups and other various international events for them. So a few years ago, they have a little bit of lull in their program where they've been struggling a little bit, and they kind of reached out to me and said, look, we'd love to have you get back involved. And, you know, when they kind of come to you with and say, we'll do whatever you need to do. We'll give you everything you need. I couldn't turn them down. So it's been an honor.
We're talking to Mike Piazza. So, Mike, as you started to think about managing and how you wanted to approach it, who were some of the managers that you played for who inspired you and made you want to get into managing?
Well, that's a great question. Obviously, coming up with Tommy Lasorda in the Dodgers and growing up in the era of Tommy and other managers like Sparky Anderson and playing for Tommy, playing for Bobby Valentine and Bruce Bochy, who I was so fortunate to play for the 1 year I played in San Diego. Seeing various styles and various sort of attitudes towards the game and the way the game is managed and sort of taking hopefully the best attributes from those various managers and putting it in my own personal style. But to me, I got to be honest with you. When I put my coaching staff together, and I'm not in a position to say now because with everything on hold, I have to kind of get permission from the teams. But I kind of wanted to be the dumbest guy in the room, if you know what I mean.
Sure, sure.
Ultimately, I wanted to put together a staff and not micromanage them and let them do what they do. So, to be honest with you, Romy, I've had so many incredible people reach out to me and want to be involved with the project that it's been very overwhelming. So hopefully when things get back to normal, I can come on and kind of tell you, you know, what our staff will be and what our strategy will be for hopefully achieving a good result in the World Baseball Classic next year.
I can appreciate that. Mike Piazza joining us. So, Mike, you were in Italy in November and then earlier this year. When did you get back to the States?
Well, I was fortunate. I mean, it's crazy how God works. I mean, you know me, I'm a man of faith, and it was around Super Bowl. And my wife was like, you know, I had various people. I live in Miami when I'm here in the States. And my wife was like, why don't you just go home for Super Bowl and hang out with your boys? And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. So I got on a plane a few days before the Super Bowl, was hanging out with a couple of guys. And then the next week, they had off a week in Italy. I put my kids in school in Italy a few years ago. And they had off for like Ash Wednesday, Mardi Gras week. So she's like, you know, I was going to go to the mountains or just do something different in Europe, but I want to come home. You know, so I was like, okay, I got online. I got the tickets. They got home. And the day we were going to leave back to Italy was the day they canceled school. And so I called the airlines. I said, look, I got to, you know, wait and see what happens. So by the grace of God and a fortunate, you know, stroke of luck, we were kind of stranded in Miami in a good way. So we've gotten the kids tutors, they're doing online classes, but this whole thing obviously for everyone's been a really a shock to our way of life. So I'm very blessed to be back in the States, and obviously Italy's been getting hit very hard.
Mike Piazza joining us. In terms of that, and it's so good to have you on, Mike, to talk about this. As somebody who loves Italy the way you do, what kind of emotions have you felt as you've watched the country go through what they've gone through with coronavirus?
Obviously sadness, because of just hearing reports from my friends. We've been over there now for 3 years, so we've kind of made a life over there in Parma in the north, close to Milan. So that was kind of the epicenter, ground zero for the outbreak. And, you know, I tell people all the time, Italy is an old country. I mean, they have old infrastructure. The hospitals are older. It's an aging population. The economy is based on tourism and tourism-related industries. There's more industrialized industries in the north. But generally in the south, it's an agrarian society. There's a lot of farming, obviously food and wine. Everyone knows that. So recently they've been doing a lot of business with the Chinese in various forms. So there was unrestricted travel even when the virus kind of broke in early December. And I think it was just caught obviously in shock, and the infrastructure wasn't ready to handle the influx of patients. And people generally were kind of cavalier about it. You know, when schools were closed, everyone was going to the cafes and hanging out, and people who were working and healthcare workers were spreading it and didn't know it. So it's been hit hard. I'm praying. I'm kind of seeing that it's at least stabilizing, and hopefully those numbers will come down. But it's very sad because, again, people have passed away, older people with ailments. And mentioning, too, you know, a lot of people in Italy have smoked, or the old people have used tobacco, you know, for years. And so that was another sort of a triple whammy. So hopefully now people are starting to understand the severity of it. And it seems like that it has leveled off a little bit, and hopefully it will eventually start to get better soon.
We are talking to Mike Piazza. So, Mike, what kind of conversations have you had with the people in Italy as it relates to the baseball team and the plans for upcoming events?
Well, obviously, things are on hold. And, you know, when I work in Italy, it's the Federation of Italian Baseball Softball. So the girls' softball team qualified for the Olympics in Tokyo. And so their schedule is a little bit more desperate than us and a little bit more uncertain, because they have to prepare for the Olympics, and they had several international events planned to try to take it into Tokyo this summer, and they're on hold. So for our standpoint, we had an international tournament in September, and we were going to get together and bi-monthly and get the team together and do a scrimmage game and do some international games with the league and the teams over there. But now obviously for us, it's completely shelved, as Major League Baseball is. So we're just emailing, trying to keep the morale up, and that's the biggest thing I want to imply to everyone is, you know, everyone needs to stay positive here and try to find a way to do their part to help, and hopefully this thing gets straightened out and we can get back to life and adhere to the precautions and you know, trust that the, you know, people are out there trying to find a way to get this thing contained and hopefully get ourselves back to where we belong.
Mike Piazza making a jungle run. Mike, you mentioned Major League Baseball. You were down in Port St. Lucie with the Mets last month. You know, if we have time and you have time, I would love to get to some of your Mets memories in a moment. But what was your reaction when the announcement came down that Major League Baseball would be suspending activities and delaying the start of the regular season?
Well, I mean, shock, obviously. I mean, we assumed that there would be some changes and precautions. And I think everybody, of course, wants to err on the side of caution, and that's understandable. But shock, because again, the uncertainty, and I'm sure you it's got to be tough for you, because like, what are you going to talk about? I mean, there's not a lot going on in the sports world. Obviously, some NFL news and whatnot. But again, I just pray, Romy. I'm praying that there's some breakthroughs soon. That at least. We can figure out how to deal with it, because let's be honest. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm like, this isn't going to be the last virus. I mean, I hope that this is a way to, at least if there is something in the future past this, that we can deal with it effectively. And maybe the pendulum is swinging on the extreme side of caution right now. So I hope it does come back to center, that we can eventually say, hey, if you are going to do this, if we are going to gather, we need to do these precautions. But nonetheless, we have to try to get back to normal life.
No, I agree with you, Mike, and it's a very different time. The way I'm approaching this, I mean, you're right. It's kind of hard to do a sports talk show 3 hours a day when there are no matchups and there are no games and there are no sports, but it's such an amazing thing. There's so many people, especially in the service industry or, quote, non-essential businesses that want to go to work, they can't go to work. It's such a scary time. So, and again, I get to come in here and just talk and to run down an old friend like you. It's a great thing. Mike, you've always been so great about resetting the days after 9/11. And I'm not going to ask you to go through that whole thing again, but when I mentioned you were coming on, people were very quick to jump on social and say, yeah, it was such an amazing thing that Mike Piazza did at that time. If I were to just reference that, in many ways, the situations are very different. But in 2001, you were with the Mets when September 11th happened and baseball was put on hold for 10 days. As you think back, what do you remember most about that time?
Kind of what we're seeing now, Romy, in the sense that there's many, many healthcare workers, doctors, people who are caring for the sick who are at themselves exposing themselves to possibly getting sick. And that's to me is true selflessness and bravery in a way that they're not allowing the fear to overcome what they need to do. So even though maybe in a crisis situation like 9/11, it was more about the first responders, police, firemen, people who were rushing to try to rescue people in a terrorist attack. Here, it's the doctors, nurses, people who are giving of themselves and putting themselves in harm's way to try to comfort the sick, and the researchers in the companies that are looking for hopefully some sort of protection against it, and hopefully ultimately a cure. I mean, I know I've done some reading. I think the only good thing of this for me is that I'm reading and researching and doing our, everyone needs to stay vigilant. And that's what I love about the internet, is you can go on and read about the virus, see what you can do to help, what can you do to protect your family and other things. So I think maybe that's the sort of connection there, is that you're having people who are really doing above and beyond the call of duty to try to contain it, cure it, hopefully cure people and get us back to normal way of life.
We got a few more moments with Mike Piazza. Of course, Mike, in that first game back after the 10-day break, you had the legendary home run in the bottom of the eighth against Atlanta. Can you take me back to that moment, and did you have any sense of what that home run would mean to so many people?
No, I mean, and again, Romy, I tell people all the time when people talk about it, I get a little uncomfortable, because I just feel that I was in the right place at the right time, and I had a lot of people pulling for me, and I felt it. I mean, I felt the wind under my wings, so to speak. I felt people pulling for me, and I remember before the game, I said many times, praying to God, saying, Lord, please, just let me get through this night. I mean, I wanted to just get through the night in an emotional sense without breaking down, and I found the strength, and the strength was given to me to come through in that situation, and to see the graciousness and the way other players and people and everyone else sort of reacted to it and was inspired by it is just nonetheless, obviously, aside from baseball, the highlight of my career. And it's an honor. And so, and I look to sports. I mean, once we do get back on the court, get back on the course, get back on the field, I'm looking forward to seeing hopefully the next round of people that are going to, and athletes that are going to inspire us. So I'm praying that time comes, and I'm praying that when we are back, that we see some big moments and we honor the people that have made a difference and that have really, as I said, put their lives on the line to try to help society and help their fellow man. And so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
See, I want to ask you about that, though, Mike, because you made it very clear, and I understand why you're uncomfortable and it's kind of awkward for you to be in that position to get all this credit. You've been very, very clear about that throughout, that you don't deserve that kind of attention, that it should go to first responders and everybody who played such an active role in saving lives. That said, then, if I were to kind of put it to you this way, what's it like to hear that home run meant to so much to so many of those people, the people that did save lives, that impacted lives, that you impacted them directly? What does that feel like?
I was just going to say, you hit the right note for me. When I've had people those who lost loved ones and just came up to me, and as I've said many times, whether it be on a plane or walking around or just in the city, saying, you gave me something to cheer about. I didn't think I was ever going to cheer again. Didn't know how much a baseball game could really mean that much to me, because of the fact that we were all together and we were all sort of praying together and feeling and feeling the strength that of love being together. And I think that's the thing for me that I'm most honored about, it that not necessarily hitting a home run in a September game, as people have said, but also to inspire people and to give people something to cheer about. And, you know, from everyone, as I said, the firefighters, the cops, the first responders, to the people who had loved ones and friends in those offices. So that to me is the most touching thing, and the thing I'll always cherish.
Talking to Mike Piazza for a couple of more moments. All right, so Mike, really quickly, Port St. Lucie, the home of the Mets spring training, has a street now named Piazza Drive. So let's be awkward again. What's that honor mean to you, man? You've got a street named after you.
It's pretty cool. I was making a joke being in Italy now. They said, what do you think the streets would be? I said, Via Emilia Piazza, I hope. But I think
perfect.
We were joking around with that. And no, it's really cool. And a special connection with the Mets fans and the way they've honored me. And you were there. I mean, we lived it. I mean, that was a really, really tough time in my career. Coming up a Dodger, winning Rookie of the Year with the Dodgers, having some great years there, and then going through a really tough situation where, as I've freely admitted many times, we both made mistakes. I mean, we both dug our heels in, and at the end of the day, we parted ways, and then going to New York and struggling, going through the gauntlet there, and then eventually signing and doing the lion's share of my career there. And I tell people all the time, Romy, I mean, I'm one of the few athletes that has really been blessed to play the sort of main part of my career in market number one and market number two.
It's incredible.
And there's not a lot of guys that can say that. So to go through those trials and tribulations is something that and it's something I enjoy. And I enjoy being an alumni too. You know, we're putting Edgardo Alfonso in the Mets Hall of Fame this year. So I'm looking forward when we get back on the field to that ceremony. So it's about relationships and the things you shared with your teammates and people in the club and the fans.
I love that you made that point, Mike. It is about relationships, because I've done this a long, long time. And, you know, there have been guys that, and I understand that I'm a member of the media and I talk to athletes, and there's a certain sort of distancing there has to be, but there are relationships, and you and I are connected that way. And I've mentioned this before, but when you talk about what happened with LA, and there may have been mistakes on both sides, whenever I think about it, I just think about that day that trade went down. And I remember doing the show in the middle of the show, and the city was going absolutely crazy. And I remember having a brief conversation with you. You were in the car on the phone, and you were like, dude. I was like, dude. And everybody was in a state of shock. But what's important to me, though, Mike, is after all this time, and it really is crazy where time goes and where life goes, like you've already been in Italy for 3 years, that we still are connected like this, that you could still find time for the show means a lot to me from a relationship standpoint. So finally, when you mention the alumni, I've got to ask, what's it like when you're back at spring training and you're hanging out with guys like Doc Gooden?
Oh, it's pretty cool. The thing I love is the stories. I mean, and I was funny. I was watching on MLB Network today. It was when I was a kid. I think it was the Cubs and the Phillies game where it was like 2017, and Dave came in, hit three bombs, and to talk about those certain stories. And I was telling a story the other night. It talks about pressure, but the one pressure is when me and EK went out on Manhattan Beach. We had a little bit too much to drink. And Kevin Gross, who was pitching the next day, found out about it. And he's like, you guys went out last night and I'm starting today. You guys better get a hit. You guys better do well, so I'm going to kick your ass. And we were like, shoot, what do we do now?
That's incredible.
Ken Hill, it was Ken Hill, and there's first and second, and I hit a double off the wall. And I just remember getting second base going, I think that's the most pressure I've ever had in my life.
That is incredible. That is great.
Well, I mean, dude, it's so funny.
So funny. That is such a great story. I've never heard you tell that. So what was it about Gross? I mean, like, that was not a guy you want to mess with.
No. No. He was a big guy. He studied karate with Jim Gott. And, yeah, he was. And it was funny. I told that story about Kevin Gross one time. I think we were in Montreal, and he thought that they were kind of tipping signs. He thought they were stealing his signs. And then he said, call a curveball, this next one's going to beat his neck. And then after he threw the ball, he was like, you guys going to stop with this? I can't curse. He goes, well, you guys going to stop with this chicken? You know what? And the bench over there was like quiet. So that's the way we dealt with the sign stealing back
Wow.
And it was crazy because he, like, do you think they're tipping the signs? I go, I kind of think, Kevin, they're kind of relaying them because they're taking some good swings at certain pitches. And he said, all right, call a curveball, this next one. And I forget who was hitting, but I think it just completely undressed them. Helmet went one way, bat went another way. And he's like, you guys ready to play ball or what?
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so good. So, Mike, finally, if you were to go all the way back to when you were drafted, 1390th overall, could you ever have imagined the career that you had and the life you've had in baseball?
I couldn't imagine, Jim. And to be honest with you, I've said many times, it's a tribute to the coaches and the people I played with and the people that saw something in me, starting from Reggie Smith, as I mentioned in my Hall of Fame speech. He said to the Dodgers, they were ready to release me after 1990 season in Vero Beach. I hit like 6 home runs. And he said, let me tell you something. You release this guy, he's going to come back and bite you in the butt because he has something you can't teach, power. And Charlie Blaney and Guy Wellman, who were the minor league directors, looked at him and said, you know what, you're right. That makes sense. So they gave me a shot at Bakersfield the next year, and I ended up hitting 29 home runs at Bakersfield, and that was my catapult to the big leagues. So it's just amazing how things happen if you stay faithful and you believe in yourself and you have people looking out for you. So, you know, we all do the work, but we all have people in our corners that have helped us along the way. So with that, I just, you know, tell people to stay positive and pray, and hopefully we get through this situation.
Mike, it's one of my favorite conversations you and I have ever had going back decades now. He was named manager of Team Italy in November. He is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. I ran down the numbers, 12-time All-Star, 10 consecutive Silver Slugger Awards. Mike, I so appreciate you, and I appreciate you making time to join us and talk about those things. That was great. Thank you so much,
Mike. My pleasure, Jim. Let's keep in touch. Hope to talk soon. God bless, okay?
You too, Mike. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that. And I know everybody listening did too, Mike. Mike Piazza.